ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 टाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी। श्लोक नंबर 1 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। श्री राजोवाच परस्य विष्णोरीशस्य मायिनामपि मोहिनीम् मायां वेदि त्वामो भगवन्तो ब्रुवन्तु नः। श्रीराजोवाच परस्य विष्णोरीशस्य मायिनामपि मोहिनीम् मायां वेदितुमिच्छामो भगवन्तो ब्रुवन्तु न। श्रीराजोवाच परस्य विष्णोरीशस्य मायिनामपि मोहिनीम् मायां वेदितुमिच्छामो भगवन्तो ब्रुवन्तु न। मायिनामपि मोहिनीम् परस्य विष्णोरीशस्य मायिनामपि मोहिनीम् मायां वेदितुमिच्छामो वन्तो ब्रुवन्तु नः। श्रीराजोवाच विष्णोरीशस्य मोहिनीम् यां वेदितुमिच्छामो भगवन्तो ब्रुवन्तु नः। माताजीस्, श्रीराजोवाच विष्णोरीशस्य भगवन्तो ब्रुवन्तु नः। विल सी वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्रीराज उवाच द किंग सेड परस्य ऑफ द सुप्रीम विष्णु विष्णु ईशस्य द लॉर्ड माइनाम फॉर द पजेसर्स ऑफ ग्रेट मिस्टिक पावर For the possessors of great mystic power, api even mohinim, which is bewildering, mayam the illusory potency, veditum to understand, ichhamaha we desire, bhagavantah my lords, bruvantu Please tell this, Naha to us. Translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, King Nimi said, Now we wish to learn about the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Vishnu, which bewilders even great mystics. My lords, please explain to us about this subject. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, in this chapter, various saintly sons of Rishabhdev will speak about the illusory energy Maya, the means for crossing beyond it, the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and prescribe duties for human beings. The 48th verse of the previous chapter stated, Vishnor Mayam Idam Pashyan. A devotee of Krishna should see the entire universe to be the illusory potency of the Lord. Therefore, King Nimi is now pursuing this subject matter by requesting more detailed information from the saintly Yogendras. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and the human beings of the earth are all driven by their particular desires for material sense gratification. Thus, they direct their senses towards research for material knowledge. The subtle celestial senses of the demigods and the gross senses of human beings are all busy in assessments of material sense objects. To understand fully the actual nature of Maya, the illusory potency, which causes the conditioned souls to become averse to Krishna consciousness and surrender to bewildering material manifestations, King Nimi is inquiring from another of the nine Yogendras, Sri Antariksha. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees who are seated here, all my God brothers here, so that we can discuss about this very sensitive topic. This is 11th canto, and in the previous chapter we discussed about the characteristics of different kinds of devotees. Who is an Uttam Adhikari, who is a Madhyam Adhikari, who is a Kanishtha Adhikari. And now, the first verse of this chapter, King Nimi, the same Shrota, is asking, please tell me about the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. So why would somebody want to inquire about the illusory potency of the Lord? We would always make a prayer to come under the shelter of the internal energy of the Lord. In the next canto, the 12th canto, there is a similar incident where one of the rishis is called Markandeya Rishi. He performs great tapasya, he gets darshan of Nar Narayan Rishi. They are the forms of the Supreme Lord. And then when Nar Narayan Rishi is very pleased with his tapasya, then they ask him, please ask for some benediction. I want to give you some benediction. And one of the benedictions that Markandeya Rishi asks is, I want to experience your illusory potency. So what is his reply? He smiles and says, so be it. And then disappears from there. And then Markandeya Rishi is thinking, so how will it manifest? And he continues with his tapasya, he is meditating on the Supreme Lord. It is mentioned he is such a great devotee of the Lord that sometimes as he is remembering the Supreme Lord, he is in so much happiness that he fails to perform his regulative worship to the Supreme Lord. So he is actually on a very high stage. So when I first heard this, that, you know, King Nimi is wanting to get more details about the illusory potency, I was thinking, is it that this is some representative of some contamination in the heart? Is it symbolizing some attraction to the material energy? Why would somebody want to ask details about the material energy, illusory potency of the Lord? We want to get out of the illusion. But there, when I read, then it is very clear that Markandeya Rishi is not somebody who is contaminated. Markandeya Rishi is a pure devotee. But why does he want to know then? He wants to know just to be safe from the disease. Just like if he is suffering from some disease, then he goes to a doctor and he asks for the cure. And the doctor will give him the cure. But in addition to the cure for the existing disease, the patient would also ask, can you also tell me how to avoid this disease in the future? I don't want to repeatedly come again and again and go through that whole cycle. So that is why Markandeya Rishi is asking that. Another reason why a devotee might be interested in understanding in detail about the illusory potency of the Lord is because a devotee is not just interested in curing himself, but a devotee is also interested in curing others, in broadcasting the message. When we understand what is the disease, when we understand what is the medicine, then we can differentiate between what is what. Especially Maya, very literally in Sanskrit it means Ma, No, Ya, this. So this is not what it appears to be. One time one disciple, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, yesterday in my dreams, you came and you told me taking LSD is allowed. So Prabhupada told him, that was not me, it was Maya in my dress. It was the illusory potency of the Lord who came in my dress. So it's not so easy. If we can get fooled into thinking that only such and such dress is bona fide, generally we have that tendency to go by the externals. But here Prabhupada mentioned, actually it was Maya Devi who came in my dress and told you to take drugs. I read my instructions in the books. Hear my vani that I always speak. We should never take such intoxication. So we need to know what is what. Recently there is this discussion about how the pharmaceutical industry, when it mentions expiry dates on the medicines, actually it is not a reflection of reality. Actually many of the medicines, they are at least 60% to 70% valid in a research done by the US Army, because at one point of time the US Army were faced with
3 billion worth of tablets, drugs. And they just had to throw it off because the expiry date had gone. So then they decided to save money. Let's just do some research. Let's see how much the potency goes down. So they found out to a period of 10 years after the expiry date, the medicine had 60% to 70% potency. Which means many of the medicines after the expiry date are sufficient to cure your disease. Yes, it may not be full potency, but definitely it does not warrant throwing them away. So we have the medicine in front of us, but we are throwing it away. So we should know the facts. We should know what is what. So similarly, a devotee wants to know illusory potency, not to embrace it, but to avoid it and to teach others to avoid it. So this is why it is important. So then what is Maya? If it is so confusing, if Maya also can change her dress and come in very convincing forms, so then what is Maya? What is happiness? Usually we are attached to some definition of happiness. And then sometimes it gets very confusing. So is happiness some kind of a feeling that we experience out of physical sensual contact? When I eat something, the feeling that I get, is it happiness? Maybe I'm attracted to wearing certain fashionable dresses. So when I wear and then I feel good. So is that happiness? Or is happiness some kind of a psychological feeling that we get when somebody appreciates us? Somebody likes us on the social media? Is that happiness? Or is happiness something which you feel a sense of relief when you do something wrong but you are not caught? So there's that sense of happiness there. I'm happy because I was not caught when I did something wrong. Is happiness something that you feel a sense of achievement? Like sometimes people go on a trek. They go on a trek of difficult mountains, and when they reach up there, they have some good feeling. So, but it has nothing to do with sensual contact. It's not any appreciation also. So it's just a feeling of achievement. And sometimes after going through it all, sometimes when you come to some realization, actually for so many years I was hunting behind something. I went for bodily happiness, I went for mental happiness, I went just for some peace or relief. But it is none of this. So then the feeling of calmness that we experience, is that happiness? Because if you are not able to understand what is happiness, then we'll always keep getting confused. Is this what I need in life? Is this what I need in life? Is this what I need in life? What do I need in life? So that is Maya. That is where we get confused. What do I actually want in life? What is the definition of food for a small child? So small baby, food is actually anything that can be put in the mouth. Sometimes he'll put toys in the mouth. Sometimes he'll put something else in the mouth. He grows up to be a toddler. He can walk and so on. So what is food for him? Now it is no longer about the mouth. Now he actually starts feeling some sensation in the stomach when he gets hungry. So at the age of maybe 5 or 6, what is food? Food is anything that can give him a sensation of filling the stomach. Nothing beyond that. Then he becomes a youngster. Starts going to college and like that. So what is the definition of food for him? Now, the definition of food is anything that has to look very attractive, that has to be very fashionable. People have to tell him, oh, you are eating this? Then he becomes some kind of a middle-aged man, maybe 35, 40, something like that. So at that time, what is food for him? At that time, food for him is something that has to be very tasty. His taste buds, you know, so he comes home and orders his wife or the cook, today I need this. This Sunday I want you to prepare this. It's more about the taste buds. Till now it was not about the taste buds. Then maybe he approaches the age of 45 or 50. Then what is food for him? By that time some diseases have set in. Diabetes has set in and so on. So that time what is food? What is ingestible? Something that has nutrients. So if he has been detected with a vitamin deficiency, then he will eat only that has those vitamins prescribed. Is it not? And Some years later, if he goes to 60, 65, then what is the food for him? It has nothing to do with the vitamins and fashionable and taste buds and all that. At the age of 60, 65, food is something that can be digested by your body. Anything that can be digested by your body, that is food. That is good food. Is it not? So as we are going through different stages in life, a lot of things are changing. For a college student, what is success? He was thinking, oh, I am studying all this now. I am putting so much energy into appearing for the regular exams. And you know, there is all this propaganda that you have to score very good marks. So all the time when he is studying, he has very high hopes. Whatever I am studying right now in my books, this is what will help me earn my bread. This is what will help me earn fame in my career. So he thinks there is a link between what he's studying and what he'll be working on. And then the reality sets on him. When he starts working, he understands, actually what I studied in my graduation or post-graduation for that matter has nothing to do with what I have to do in my office. Actually what I'm supposed to do in my office is what my boss did not study in his studies. So whatever he cannot do, whatever, you know, he has to fill in some blanks for reporting to his seniors, then he'll pass on whatever he cannot do to his juniors, that is you and me. Then he'll tell you, do this, do this, do this. So you say, what about my profile? So that's not important. Currently you're reporting to me and I'm reporting to somebody. So whatever I cannot do, you have to do. So that is the time in the reality session. That Maya bubble is burst. So many people, you know, before getting into a relationship, before getting into a marriage, they have this feeling of having the perfect life partner who understands me, who compliments me. We are made for each other, that kind of a feeling. And many times, especially in today's modern times, where there is a serious vacuum of cultural training in the family. So then it is all about what I can get from the other person. Like one person was sharing, he heard from another person. So he was saying how, you know, one person said, I just love this dish. And when he said that, I just love this dish, the next moment what he did was, he ate it. He consumed it. That's how people usually say, I just love this dish, and then consumed it. So then this person was saying, in today's world, love has become synonymous with consumption. Love has become synonymous with, I do what I want with this object. That is called love. Whereas traditional understanding of love is, I love you means I sacrifice for you. I am here to serve you. I am here to protect you. Whereas in today's times, the word love, the word stays the same, but the connotation has changed. If you want to enjoy something, if you want to consume it, if you want to use it for your pleasure, that is love. So he was saying, similarly, in today's times, when in a relationship somebody says, I love you, because of that same culture that is there behind, actually what he means is, when we get into a relationship, I am going to try my best to get something from you that I feel is good for my pleasure. So when somebody is saying, I love you, I love her, I love him, what they are saying is, I am going to use that object, that person, to fill up my needs for emotional satisfaction. So with this cultural understanding, when somebody gets married and the hunt is on for satisfaction at the cost of the other's emotions or well-being, what will happen to that marriage relationship? So it collapses. So then Maya sets in. Maya tells you, what you thought is not what is the reality. So this is how, at a very simple level, we can understand we have different definitions of what is good for us. That keeps changing throughout our lives. And whenever we have some expectations, they keep getting burst. So then at the end of life, we are thinking, how do I understand? A simple understanding of Maya would also be, every day in the morning when we wake up, what is the feeling that we get? We were deeply immersed in another world. We had good friendships, we had some experiences, maybe on the physical, at least in that realm at night. What we usually call a dream. But I'm not using that word because, you know, it has certain reference. But something that happens when you hit the bed and when the alarm clock in the morning goes off. So that period, we're talking of that period, everything happens almost as real in that time. You have a life, you have friends, probably you also have a family, there are different aspirations, there's a career, so many things, just as if it is the natural world right now. It happens at night. And then the alarm bell goes on. And suddenly, it's almost like somebody jerked you out of some reality. So maybe, you know, just like we have two rooms here, and you were in another room. So there are walls there are windows there is a ceiling fan there, the paintings are there. Similarly, in this room also, the temple hall also, there are the ceiling fans and everything is there. So you're just standing on the other side of the separation, and everything is going nice. And when the alarm bell goes off, somebody just, you know, catches hold of you and just without asking you, without taking your permission, without requesting you, it just violently jerks you out from that room into this room. And suddenly you find, what happened to all those things that I was seeing, things that I was experiencing? And then you understand, the alarm bell went off, now I am in this world. So for practical discussion's sake, usually what we call this as reality, we say this is the real world. And that was dream world. And sometimes we say, "Arey kya sapne mein khoye rehte hain aap?" Something like that we say. Now the question is, what if there are two realities? This is also a reality, that is also a reality. Just because we are jerked from one reality into another reality, we have come to accept the other reality as a dream and this reality as reality. This part of what we experience as reality. So then what if that part that we experience at night, just for discussion's sake, actually that is the real world? Yes. Usually, you know, we are comfortable in a place where we belong, like a fish is comfortable in water. And then you jerk the fish out of water, that is when it starts experiencing difficulties. So every day in the morning, just remember, when the alarm bell goes off, are you in difficulty or are you very happy, very pleasurable? Think about it. Most people I see around in the morning time, when we are in a difficulty, we get disturbed by that. So what if somebody says, disturbance happens when we are jerked out of our normal situation and brought to an artificial situation, like the fish brought from its normal position of the water into an artificial, that is when it experiences difficulty. So similarly, when we wake up in the morning, how many of us wake up with a smile on our face? So what if somebody says, actually that is where you belong and this is an artificial reality and that's why you are showing signs of discomfort? It's a valid argument. So then, is that reality? Is this reality? One very simple way to understand is, if you can be jerked in a moment from something, most probably it's not reality. Because if that was reality and this was artificial, then, you know, it would have been not possible for us to, like, you know, something that is artificial can be broken very easily. But something that is natural, let's say, I am a very serious person by disposition and I artificially try to be humorous. That thing can be broken in a moment. Something just goes wrong a little bit and my true nature, which is I'm a very serious person, will be shown. But somebody who's genuinely humorous, whatever happens, he always sees that lighter side. It is said in World War II, there was a German spy who had defected to the other side. He was with the English army. And he had almost absorbed himself in the English army. And one day what happened is, as he was walking, somebody closed the door and his finger got stuck in the gap between the door and the hinge. And then he uttered a German word, "Ouch," in a German accent. That is how they detected that actually he's a German spy. Otherwise, the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he ate, everything was English. He had adapted himself. So suddenly, you know, something that is artificial is broken. So only way in which this argument can be broken is, that is not reality. Why? Because in a moment you can be taken out from there. Whereas to escape this reality, it takes a lot of time. It's not that in a moment we go to sleep. It takes time to go to sleep. Otherwise, from the Vedic perspective. Actually, even this reality is called a dream. What we usually call as reality is also a dream. Somewhere in the second canto or third canto, I remember reading. Actually, what is the material world? The material world is the dream of Lord Mahavishnu. Karanodakshai Vishnu is sleeping in the Karanodak ocean, and as he is in his yoga nidra, the universes are coming from his pores, which essentially means we, or this world, is a product of his sleep, is a product of his divine dreams. So actually whatever happens in that universe is a dream. Whose dream? Lord Vishnu's dream. And in that dream, we have identified a dream within a dream. So at night what we experience is not the reality, it is a dream within a dream. And at daytime what we experience is something that is within a dream. So that's why from the Vedic perspective, none of the stages that we experience, even the daytime or the nighttime, it's all a dream, it's all Maya, it's all false. So the Vedic understanding is not to just wake up from that night sleep, it is actually to wake up from our slumber. There's a difference. Sleep is more of a physical activity. Slumber is more of your consciousness, is more of your mental state. You know, you're walking on the street and you're in a slumber. You're appearing as if you don't have any life. So from the Vedic perspective, even what we call reality is a dream. So in the Upanishads it is mentioned, Uttishtha Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodhata. It is mentioned, my dear spirit soul, rise. And Jagrata, wake up. So you say, I'm already woken up. What are you meaning when you say wake up? Wake up from the slumber. You have woken up from sleep, but not from your misconceptions. So have a clear understanding. Sanatan Goswami, when he meets Lord Chaitanya, he says, actually, gramya vyavahare pandit kahe tai satyamani. He says, in our day-to-day dealings, actually everyone around me calls me a pandit, calls me an educated person. And I am also such an amazing personality that when people call me intelligent, I accept it. I identify with it. So, gramya vyavahare pandita kahe tai satyamani, but what kind of a pandit I am? What kind of an intelligent I am? Apanara hita hita kichui na jani. I am such a pandit, I know a lot of things about so many things, but I don't know what is good for me and what is not good for me. That's what we were discussing before. What is reality? And if I know reality, then I'll pursue it. And if I'm not knowing reality, I'll pursue something else and end up somewhere else. He says, so now I request you, my dear Lord, ke ami, who am I? Kene amare javre tapatraye, iha nahi jani kemone hita hoye. Tell me two things, who am I and why am I suffering in this world? Because iha nahi jani, if I don't know these two things, kemone hita hoye, whatever else I know amongst so many things that are supposed to be known, so many things that are advertised to be known, kemone hita hoy, I will never have auspiciousness in my life. So that is why here Nimi, King Nimi is asking, please tell me what is Maya. I want to differentiate between the two. Vyasadeva in the first canto, when it is mentioned, Narad Muni came and told him, you have not done your job properly. So now you meditate. And now you write down another scripture that describes the real essence of life. So many times when we describe the Bhagavatam, we mention Bhagavatam is about focusing on Krishna. Na tatha vasudevasya mahimahi anuvarnita. You did not describe specifically and you did not describe repeatedly. That is the two faults that Narad Muni detects in Vyasadeva. But then it is mentioned bhakti yogena manasi, when Vyasadeva was sitting and he touched the waters of Saraswati for purification, and now he is embarking on this very important task of following the orders of his spiritual master to cure his own despondency and to make a cure for others' despondency. So the very first picture that comes in front of his mind when he is writing the Srimad Bhagavatam is, he sees two personalities. Although he has been instructed to write about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when he meditates on Krishna, he just does not see Krishna. He sees another personality, Mayam Chatat Apashrayam. He sees the illusory potency of the Lord who is standing behind the Supreme Lord. So this is very interesting understanding, that when he is seeing Krishna, he is also seeing Mayadevi, but behind Krishna. Apashraya means being fully under the control of the Lord. At another place in the second canto, fifth chapter, it is mentioned, Vilajja Manaya. Mayadevi is Vilajja, Lajja lagti hai unko. Bhagwan ke samne kabhi aati nahi hai, kyunki apne swami ke samne aati nahi hai. Piche khadi rehti hai. So this is the understanding of illusory potency in the Vedic culture. In other cultures, there is God and then there is something that competes with God. So there is a competitor to God. So this is some kind of a helpless God who has to face a competitor like most of us. But in the Vedic culture, the Supreme Lord is the most powerful person. He is the most omnipotent person. There is no competitor to him. Then what is the job of this illusory potency? Why is there existence of an illusory potency? Why not all of us just serve the Supreme Lord? So one time, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, he read some books by Srila Prabhupada, and then he found out how actually Maya is also an agent of Krishna. And most people in this world, when they are working under illusion, Prabhupada writes in 1.3.38 how everyone is serving Krishna. Some are serving directly and some are serving indirectly. So when he came across some reference like this, then he asked this to Prabhupada. The Prabhupada, this way also we are serving Krishna indirectly. And by Bhakti Yoga also we are serving the same Krishna, although you are saying it's directly. So why to make an endeavor to go from here to there? Because finally we are serving the same person. So Prabhupada mentioned, when we serve the Supreme Lord indirectly, the product is misery. And when we serve Krishna directly, there is happiness for the soul. So this is the, you know, this is that one simple analogy, one simple explanation. But the happiness that we are searching lies in directly serving Krishna, not in indirectly serving Krishna. That is why it's important to understand what is Maya and what is not. So, in the conversation between Narad Muni and Lord Brahma, Narad Muni is asking Brahmaji, Nanritam tava tachapi yatha mam prabhavishibho avigyaya paramatta etavatvam yatohi me. So he has seen how Brahmaji is the creator in the second canto, fifth chapter. And he is saying, now please tell me, I'll read his words. Whatever you have spoken about me is not okay. This is Lord Brahma. So this before this, Lord Narad Muni is saying, I am seeing you are the first person in this universe, and you are such an intelligent person, and you are the creator. So just let me know if you are the final authority, or is there somebody else other than you also? So when I first read this, then I was thinking, I thought Narad Muni is a pure devotee again. The same thing about Markandeya Rishi also. Markandeya Rishi is also a pure devotee. Why did he want to know the illusory potency? So Narad Muni is also a pure devotee. Is he not knowing Ishvara Parama Krishna? Why is he saying, are you the Supreme Person? So again it is clarified. Narad Muni wants to make things clear for the future readers. Just in case somebody has some doubts, the answer of Brahmaji will clear doubts. I appear to be the most intelligent and the most powerful person in the universe, but there is somebody above me also. So this is Brahmaji who is saying, whatever you have spoken about me is not false. Because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. So here we come across an understanding. Unless somebody is aware of a person's existence beyond what is visible, till that time it is very natural and it is very expected that we will think there is no supreme person, or even if there is a supreme person, he is somebody within the material realm. His body may be gross, his body may be subtle, but maybe it is Lord Brahma. Maybe it is Indra, maybe it is Vayu, maybe it is one of the powerful personalities on the earth planet. Unless somebody informs us, unless somebody tells us, this what you see is not the full extent of reality. There is another reality beyond this. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, in one purport, one example is given. A fish inside an ocean. As he is moving around the ocean is expansive, the ocean is unlimited. And the fish can go from the blue waters of this ocean to the green waters of another ocean, finding a lot of variety within the ocean. Sometimes going up, sometimes going down, seeing unlimited variety below also. But finally, however, we may call the ocean as almost unlimited, it's huge. But finally, the limit of what the fish can experience is the level of water. So imagine a fish that is below water and he is moving around all the connected bodies of water, the Arabian Sea, the Bay of Bengal, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and he feels this is it. There is unlimited water here. But then finally, when the water level, beyond the water level, there is air, there is land, there is the sky. And this is only on one planet. There is another planet. And there is another universe. And then there is a spiritual world. So although the fish thinks, I can understand this world is quite expansive and there is nothing beyond the water, because it cannot go beyond the water. It won't survive beyond the water. Similarly, Brahmaji, while offering prayers to Lord Krishna, is saying, similarly, many people in this world, they feel whatever I can see and whatever I can experience is the world. I accept it is quite huge. I have not been able to measure the breadth and the length of this universe. I accept it. But there is nothing beyond it. So only somebody who's gone to New York can tell us about New York. Today is the appearance of Shamanand Prabhu, Shamanand Pandit, and Shamanand Prabhu. Shamanand Prabhu came here today from New York. So if I have not been to New York, I cannot imagine a land beyond this place. But when somebody comes from New York, he tells me, New York is like this, New York is like this. And then I can understand. Similarly, a fish cannot understand what is beyond water. All of us cannot understand what is beyond our realm. So only somebody who comes from the spiritual world can tell us about the spiritual world. So either it is the Supreme Lord or one of his pure representatives. Otherwise, we are trapped in this realm of Maya, not this. And we just keep thinking, just like there was a popular movie some years back, and some devotees sometimes use this movie to their advantage. It's called The Matrix. And you know, it talks about how there's an alternative reality and we don't understand how it is. The end result of that movie, I did not watch it myself, I asked somebody. He says, actually at the end of the movie I was depressed. I was confused. So what is reality? Is it what I see? Is it something behind me? Can I switch between realities? Because all they could explain is the Maya part. They do not have bona fide information about the spiritual world. So he just ends up telling this person who's there in the movie, the main protagonist. He just keeps talking about how what you see and what you think is not the reality. And then he just keeps getting confused. But how do you escape that reality? That is very important. So one time there was this pond of fish. And every day one fisherman would come, throw his net and catch some fish. And they observed that one particular fish would not get scared. This one particular fish would be quite happy. So some fish, they went to this fish and said, how come you are never affected by this? With morning time, when we imagine now that fisherman will come and probably I'll get caught in that fish, we get disturbed. How come you don't get disturbed? So I do a simple thing. Whenever the fisherman comes and throws that net, he has to come inside the water to some extent. So I just go and find my place near his feet. So usually a fisherman will throw his net away from his feet. He won't throw that net near his feet. So he says, take shelter of the main person. Take shelter of the fisherman. You get saved from the net. Similarly, you know, many times in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, in the 11th canto also, this example is given. The comparison is made between a spider and the Supreme Lord. The spider has this unique ability of creating a net, moving around in that net, that web, without getting caught. Everyone else gets caught in that web. The spider himself does not get caught. At the end, when he is done with that web, he sucks in that web inside. So Srijati, he creates, he maintains, and then he annihilates. So many times this example is given for the Supreme Lord. So who is the person who is creating this web? Who is the person who is creating this net? It is the Supreme Lord. Anybody who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, he is not affected by Maya. Otherwise, Daivi hi esha gunamai, mamma maya duratyaya. You cannot escape. Usually when we explain the word Daivi, we give an explanation. Because it is related to the divine Supreme Lord, Daiva. Isle ho maya shakti hai. हालांकि वो भौतिक प्रकृति है लेकिन उसको भी दैवी कहा गया है. बिकॉज इट इज डिवाइन इन इट्स ओरिजिन, इट कम्स फ्रॉम कृष्णा, दैट्स व्हाई इट्स कॉल्ड दैवी. विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर गिव्स अनदर अल्टरनेटिव अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द वर्ड दैवी. विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर सेज द वर्ड देव इट मीन्स समबडी हु इज फॉन्ड ऑफ सेंशुअल एंजॉयमेंट. So, from one perspective, the living entity can also be called Deva because he is fond of material enjoyment. So, in this context, the word Daivi means that which is made specifically to facilitate the material enjoyment of the living entity. Although it is created by Krishna, but it is created for you and me to get trapped in that web. And how do you escape it? Only when you offer yourself at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, it's very difficult to escape this web. In the Ramayana, there is this small story. This is the time when Lord Ram, Sita Devi and Lakshman, they have come out of Ayodhya and they have reached the kingdom of Nishadaraj Guha. So, when they reach there, obviously he welcomes them with forest paraphernalia. So, he brings a lot of honey. And during the end of the day, Lord Ramchandra, you know, he does not accept that honey, of course. He says that I am for one vas. So one vas does not mean only vas in one. One vas means you follow the rules of one vas. So he does not accept even the nice tasting fruits, honey and all that. He just drinks some water that Lakshman brings from the river. So this story mentions that during the end of the day, because it's a very nice forest, fragrant flowers, he sees a pack of bees coming from the forest somewhere to their home. But all of the bees are intoxicated by drinking honey the whole day. So, it is mentioned how a typical honeybee has a lifespan of around 6 weeks. And roughly, on an average, a honeybee travels around 1000 kilometers during the 6 weeks. So, that's the great amount of effort that a honeybee does. And at the end of it, what it gets is just to get some nectar. It is mentioned, during this lifespan of 6 weeks, during which it travels for 1000 kilometers, the average amount of honey that a honeybee collects is 1/4 of a teaspoon. So imagine a very strenuous life. In the fourth canto, Prabhupada compares the honeybees to the human civilization. They work hard to collect honey, and at the end the honey is taken by somebody else, and you are just left for nothing. So anyways, coming back to the story, he sees a pack of honeybees intoxicated by drinking honey and they are returning to their home. But because of drinking honey, because of their intoxicated state, they are not even able to fly in a straight line. So they are moving around as if intoxicated. So then how will they go back to their home? Who will guide them? So then there comes another bee there who is not intoxicated, who did not enjoy the honey during the day, and that one bee guides all the other bees to the home. And Lord Ramchandra mentions to Sita and Lakshman, just see. So all these bees are intoxicated, but it takes an unintoxicated one to guide the rest of the bees back home. So actually he's indicating to the pure devotee, the spiritual master. All of us are intoxicated by Maya. All of us are intoxicated with the six agents of Maya, Kama, Lobha, and so on. It takes an unintoxicated one to guide us back. So either you take shelter of the Supreme Lord, but how do you take shelter of the Supreme Lord? Unless you know there is a Supreme Lord, unless you know how to please Him. Anushilanam. So finally we come to this formula that one way to escape Maya is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But how do you surrender to the Supreme Lord? By taking shelter of the unintoxicated one. Sometimes this question can come. I accept I need to surrender. I am a sadhaka. I am practicing the process of devotional service. I understand that I need an unintoxicated one to guide me. Is there something called as healthy Maya? I've heard this word. Is there something that is possible to do so that I stay clean at the same time? You know, Padma Patrai Vambasa. I regularly contact mud, but I arrange in such a way that the mud does not touch me. So best of the both worlds. No, there is nothing called as healthy Maya. If you read Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter, in one particular purport, Prabhupada writes, sometimes a living entity experiences happiness by sense enjoyment. And he says, this feeling of happiness He writes, this feeling of so-called happiness by sense enjoyment is the greatest enemy of the living entity. Because as soon as you do some sense enjoyment, you think there is some enjoyment here, and you get that so-called happiness. It's not happiness. Abhas. But you feel you are happy. That perpetuates your search for more happiness. You think, no, it is possible. So that is that healthy Maya thing. We are advised, we are told, we are warned sometimes, don't do this. But then we still have that hankering, and that is where most of us get caught. That small feeling of happiness that we get searching for healthy Maya. So very, very risky for us to get into that. We should not try to get into healthy Maya. But at the same time, how to deal with those small remnants of our past impressions or our past conditionings? One way we can do it is, you know, we take shelter of association of devotees, because yes, there are the instructions of the Guru, there is the guidance of the Guru. But then I was discussing in another class how many devotees have come to this temple, some X number of devotees, and then how many devotees have stayed in the temple. There is a Y amount of devotees. So what made the difference? Here is Krishna, and then it was the solution to come out of Maya was taking shelter of Krishna. So then so many people came to Krishna, but why didn't they stay? So coming is one thing and staying is another thing. So who stays? They stay who take shelter of the association of devotees. So only when we take shelter of the association of devotees, then only we stay. Otherwise we come and most probably we'll get hooked to healthy Maya, which is actually not healthy Maya. It's actually unhealthy Maya, and we can again go and then again come and again go. And in this way, you know, we can perpetuate this cycle more and more. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj one time was saying, the world appreciates you if you go give more time to Maya, and the devotees appreciate you if you give more time to Krishna. Finally, the non-devotees and devotees both have only 24 hours. Every one of us has enough time to do what we want. It's just a question of prioritizing. So at least we can show to Krishna, at least we can show to Guru, at least we can show to the devotees. We have both. We have these desires, remnants. But at least we are trying to prioritize. We are trying to give more and more importance to the Guru's instructions, to what Krishna is mentioning. And in this way, slowly, just by pleasing Krishna, by our intentions, Krishna can take us out of this vicious cycle of getting stung by Maya, getting this bad impression, vowing never to indulge again. And then after some time, we pray to Maya, I know you'll beat me up, I know you'll abuse me, but actually that feeling that I got when I indulged the last time was very nice. And although they say in the Hare Krishna movement, chant and be happy, somehow I have not been able to taste that happiness. So actually that "and," that word chant and be happy, that "and" is a very potent word. That "and" is a very strong word. So chant, struggle, be happy. It's not just chant and be happy, because many of us, we are not even struggling to chant properly. You have to endeavor, we show to Krishna that I want to rise above. So when we show that, our effort and then Krishna's sanction or Krishna's mercy, just seeing that we are struggling, Krishna may allow us to come out of Maya. Otherwise, she says, duratyaya, only mam evaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So these were some things that I thought we could discuss with this question of Nimi Maharaj, that please tell me what is the illusory potency of the Lord. And in the coming classes, we'll hear from different devotees. We are looking forward to hearing more about the different ways in which we could recognize what is Maya, what is not Maya, and how to avoid it. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.